Well, good evening, and welcome to another exciting moment in Ever Increasing Word Training Center, up under the leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. I'm your instructor, of course, Dr. Walker, and I count it such a pleasure and a privilege to serve under this great man of God. I always want to make all of you know that I operate from apostolic leadership, apostolic covering, and there are so many wonderful things that happen in my life, in the life of my family, and our ministry because of our connection to Apostle Thompson, his family, and his ministry. And so we're so privileged and honored to be an instructor in his class. Of course, this is Catching the Waves of Revival. Y'all did well pretty much on your exam. We're going to skip a few chapters today to fast forward into the seven stages of revival. There's no possible way for us to cover all 18 chapters. So in this class, we're going to start with chapter number 7, which is the beginning of the seven stages of revival. The seven stages of revival are, number 1, times of revelation, times of revelation. Number 2 is times of repentance, you know. Then number 3 is times of refreshing. Number 4 is times of revealing. Number 5 is times of restoration. Number 6 is times of reformation. And of course, number 7 is where I really want to spend a lot more time covering the times of the revivalists, because truly we are in the midst of one of the greatest revivals known to the church. And I never forget these words as I traveled with Apostle Thompson. He said God spoke to him and told him that money cometh would be here until Jesus come back. And so I believe him. I believe the prophet. I believe the apostle. And I believe that we're in the days of great manifested wealth. So let us begin tonight with times of revelation, the first stage of revival. The first stage of the end time revival is the times of revelation that the church is presently ushered into. Now, let me say this, because, you know, when you start talking about end times, people say, well, you know, we're in the last days. We're in the end time. We've been in the last days since the days of Pentecost. Are you listening? The Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, when Peter stood up to preach, he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the ushering in of this end time revival. We've been in revival. Revival in the church never stops. We just have to get connected to the revivalists to keep on experiencing true revival. Read. The lack of revelation knowledge can have a disastrous end for the church. The church can be destroyed. The gifts of the Spirit can be abused, and also the ministry gifts can be abused. And the people can be rejected from receiving their inheritance. As the Holy Spirit is moving the church into revival times, the church is experiencing a breakthrough and revelation flow. That's very important. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse number 13, when he said to those apostles that he was training, he said to them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And and his apostles replying to that particular question said, and some believe that you are Elias or Elijah, the prophet. Some believe that you're Isaiah. Some believe that you're Jeremiah, the prophet, come back from the dead. Are you listening? But then Jesus asked the question. He say, it's fine what they say, but now what I need to know is who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter got that marvelous revelation. And remember, all revelation knowledge comes from God, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit search all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he reveals them unto us. It is given unto us, according to Matthew 13 and 11, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That can only come through the person of God, the Holy Spirit. He's the revealer of all truth. And then when Jesus asked that question, he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, I got it this time. I got it. I know who you are. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. You didn't get this from a man. But my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed this unto you. It is always important to know, as a Bible student, that whatever God is revealing to his people, he is revealing it to us by the person of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in fact taking the same place that Jesus occupied when he walked the face of the earth. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit is God in us. Never forget that. The whole church is looking for Jesus to come back. He's already back. He told his apostles, I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to send to you another comforter, another of the same sort, another of the same kind as I am. And when he is come, he will lead and guide you into all the truth and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I said unto you. Now, all of that have to do with times of revelation. Jesus said, Peter, based upon the revelation that my Father gave you, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm gonna build my church and hell can't prevail against it. So that's all you need to know. Hell cannot prevail against the church. So we should be on the offensive, not the defensive. We don't have to try to stop Satan. Satan can't stop us. Okay, let's go. The Holy Spirit is taking us out of our ignorance and teaching us what we ought to know, do, and say in these days. Spirit education has come to the church. The church is learning the ways. The church is learning the ways, and the church is learning the inner workings of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, here's some benefits to walking in revelation knowledge. Number one, you receive higher spiritual perception and wisdom. The perception that comes through revelation knowledge is higher than that of human wisdom and mind education. mankind is limited in their understanding and their perception. And they can only see Jesus as one of the prophets. Spiritual revelation lifts us to see who he really is. Now, to see who he really is, who is he really? The Bible said Jesus was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's who he really is. He's not just another prophet. He is, in fact, God incarnate. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, and the Word that was with God and the Word that was God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was not just another prophet. He was the Word. He was the Word made flesh. He was the Son of God made flesh. And he came to dwell amongst us, teaching us how to live, how God wants us to live. Okay, read, child. Number two. Revelation knowledge is to teach us inheritance and sonship. There are higher blessings of sonship called inheritance that can only be released to us through revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge always precedes possession. I cannot possess unless God reveals it unto me. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But I had not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the mind of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, with faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, now you could see it is only through revelation knowledge revealed from the Holy Spirit that we could walk in the now of faith, which is the substance of the things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us in our fellowship and in our time with him. The things that he reveals belong to us, and nobody can take them away. And what he wants to reveal to us is that, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, not tomorrow, not next week, not when we get to heaven, and we're not training to go to heaven. The sons and the daughters of God are occupying until he comes. Read. Benefit number three. The power over flesh. The life that moves in revelation flow is free from the power of the flesh. That sounds like Romans 8, 1, 2, all the way down. There, hold up now. Right, I'm going to get there in a minute. All right. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But here's the key. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is power over the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is walking in revelation knowledge. Walking in the Spirit is walking in harmony with God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, read. Any believer walking in the flow of revelation knowledge is walking in V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory over the flesh. Walking in revelation is walking in total obedience to the Holy Spirit and his words. When we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify, or please the desires of the flesh. But the link between the Spirit and the flesh is the soul. And so we must come to the revelation knowledge that the problem with our flesh is in our soul. We can have a fleshly mind or a spiritual mind. Now, apostles have been training this, that we cannot walk free from pleasing the flesh if we're not renewed in the spirits of our minds. Go ahead, child. And those who walk in the flesh and in human wisdom, they do not have the ability to please God. See, Jesus say, I do always the things that please my Father. Well, how could he say that? Because Jesus said in St. John 14 and 10, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Well, if you don't believe for the very work's sake, for the works that I do is the Father in me. He does the work. How does he do it? By the words, by the instructions that he give me through his Spirit. How God, Acts 10:38, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him in the person of the Holy Spirit. So when you understand that, now you understand that that same Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. So we, according to Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Go ahead, child. Benefit number four, the grace of sonship, the place of intimacy and love in relationship with God is only afforded to sons. Revelation knowledge places us into the position of sonship that opens the door to intimacy. The Father himself opens this doors or these doors or this door to sons. The Son does nothing. Say that. The Son does nothing of his own initiative. Or the Son does not speak on his own accord. Jesus said, as I hear, I speak. As I hear, I speak. I only do what I hear my Father telling me to do. I only speak what he's telling me to speak. The words that I speak are not my words, it's my Father's words. The works that I do, it's not me. It's my Father working through me. Go ahead. When we choose to capitalize on this privilege and walk to honor our relationship with the Father, then we will know the grace of intimacy with God. You know something? Listen to me. We have the same standing with the Father as Jesus had. Are you listening? The Bible says, and if we are heirs of God, we are joint heirs with the Christ. Heirs of God first, joint heirs with the Christ. Christ came to make us heirs of God, joint heirs with him, holding the same sonship that he possessed. The church cannot embrace that because of religion. As he is, so are we in this world. I am he is me. In my I am-ness, I identify with the Christ. I am crucified with the Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. I'm a son. You a son. You are daughters of the Most High God. You have an inheritance of sonship. Go ahead. Benefit number five, you develop a wholesome self-image. You're no longer dependent upon what people say without to guard and to guide your life. You know from within that you're the son and the daughter of God. Go ahead. Revelation knowledge unfolds to us how God sees us. When we can then see ourselves as God sees us. God is the God, notice this term now, of progressive revelation, who reveals his name and his nature to us at appropriate times in our journey of life. Oh, yeah. See, y'all, I wish you read your own Bible. You remember when God sent Moses to Pharaoh? God made this statement. He said, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh because Pharaoh have not known me by the name Jehovah. Lord have mercy. Pharaoh, as a matter of fact, told Moses, who told y'all can do what? You must not know about Pharaoh. I run everything around here. And who is that God of yours gonna tell me to let y'all go? He better get to stepping. And God said, Moses, I'm gonna be with your mouth. Moses, when you speak, it's me. Y'all didn't catch it. In sonship, you realize when you speak, it's God, your Father, speaking in you and through you. And Satan can't resist. Go ahead, child. The Holy Spirit, who reveals unto us that God is the Father, will also reveal the revelation of sonship to us. Benefit number six. A new strength of character. Peter was changed from a reed to a stone. His true spiritual nature came forth to its full potential. Jacob was transformed into a new man. after he had wrestled with the angel of the Lord, who gave him a new name. He was no longer Jacob the supplanter, Jacob the trickster. He was changed from Jacob to Israel. What does Israel mean? You are prince with God. You have power with God. Go ahead. Those who are changed by the flow of revelation became stable foundation for God to move in their generation. Benefit number 7. The church is built. The church is built on revelation flow. There is absolutely no true church without revelation flow. Human tradition and man-made religion does not make church. Do you understand that? So when you come to this school of ministry, you have to check out all that religion and all that tradition at the door. Apostle Thompson is not here to give us some great outline on how to preach. God told him to establish this ministry, this training school, so that the individuals who come through this training school would see apostolic ministry in true fruition by recognizing when the Spirit of God would come upon him. You can see him being transformed into a completely different man. Let me tell you something. I've been around people who were demon possessed, but I love to tell you, I'm around a man now who's God possessed, and his life reflects God possession. It is his mission for all of us to develop God possessed lives so that the world can see the power that the church really have. Go ahead. In order to build the church effectively, we need to build it according to God's heavenly pattern, which is revelation knowledge. Benefit number 8, a prevailing church on earth. I love that. A prevailing church on earth, not a scary church, not a church worried about the next election, not a church worried about a COVID virus, a pandemic, an epidemic. No, we don't have time for that. Why? Because we have a God who's in the midst of us, who promised us, if we serve him, I will remove all sickness and all disease from your midst. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. God is the government. The government is upon his shoulder. We're not Republicans. We're not independents. We're not Tea Party. We're not Democrats. Who are we? We are the sons and the daughters of a living God. But it's a shame to say that politics even separate the church world. Why? Because there's no apostolic direction, no apostolic government. Oh, Lord, don't have me to preach up in here. Go ahead. The church is founded upon the revelation of God. And the redemption of man is going to rise to become an overcoming church. The church that is connected to the Father in revelation flow, they have the keys to unlock everything in the kingdom of God and to destroy the satanic kingdom. Do you understand that? It takes keys of revelation knowledge to destroy the enemy. The church does the spiritual policing of the heavens, keeping the spiritual climate conducive for spiritual breakthrough. It assures that the heavens are continuously open for the church to move and the supernatural purposes of God. And it is given the position to rule and to reign both in heaven and on the earth. And that cannot be done without apostolic government. The apostle is the first gift that God gave, that Jesus gave, the first gift that God set, and it's a heaven to earth government. And the first gift that God wants to deal with us through is the apostle. So in Acts, it's not the Acts of the apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Go ahead. In the days of Acts, the apostles moved in revelation knowledge, and what they taught was called the apostles' doctrine. That's it for this evening. We're going. There's more to this. Huh? That was it for chapter number 11. Well, we'll see y'all next time. Enjoy your evening.